Welcome to An Hour to Give, where every week we get together and talk about community, philanthropy, and volunteerism. And this week I am thrilled to welcome Nicholas McCarthy to the show. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Nicholas, you've got such an interesting job, of course, Director of Marketing Communications and Community Outreach with Beechwood Cemetery Foundation. And I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that there's a foundation at Beechwood Cemetery.
And I think that's why you invited me on this week. And the idea that we're a non-publicly funded cemetery, that it operates on a not-for-profit basis, is pretty unique here in Ottawa. And it's something that, even though we're this national thing, this national body, it's definitely something that people may not realize, and that a lot of our programming and a lot of the beautification of the cemetery is all done by donors and sponsors and people who support the cemetery.
And there are so many people in Ottawa that really know what a treasure Beechwood is, and some people are just getting to know it. For those that may not be familiar with Beechwood, walk us through a little bit about the history.
So Beechwood has been around since 1873. We're this, we were a country cemetery, believe it or not, right? We're in the corner of Vanier, Rockcliffe, Manor Park, and New Edinburgh. So we're right in the core of the city. But at the time, we were in this sort of outskirts of the city of Ottawa. And in 1873, after some deliberation within the city limits, they decided to push all cemeteries on the outside of the city. So we had Notre Dame, our Catholic cemetery, to the left of us. And Beechwood became sort of the cemetery for everyone, the non-denominational cemetery. And it was privately funded and privately founded by, of course, lumber barons. And part of the reason they enjoyed the location here, it was not only was it a farm, but it had a lot of wood that was able to be reclaimed and offset some of the initial cost of establishing our cemetery. So we've been in operation since 1873. We've been 160 acres, and we've always been known for our gardens. And I think that's something that a lot of the people in the city do know about.
Oh, absolutely. So, I think you're definitely known for that, for sure, Nicholas. But it's an incredible history, as you've just sort of given us a little bit of a taste of it. And what I love about Beechwood is history means so much to you, especially when it comes to those great tours you give.
Yeah, so as a foundation, part of our goal, right, is to ensure that we're obviously a place for loved ones to come and mourn, but also a place for people to learn about not only Ottawa's history, but Canada's history as a whole. So a lot of the times we do a tour every Sunday, the last Sunday of every month, and then we do some theme tours across the summertime. We'll do different themes, from reconciliation to the Scots of Beechwood, to city streets, to all kinds of different things. But what happens is people from all across Ottawa and all across Canada come, and they'll find themselves in the cemetery. And I think that's where we, as such a diverse place, really get to connect with anybody and everyone. So as I was saying, right, these tours have been going on for as long as our corporate memory remembers, but we've been doing a bit of research on our history, so looking back at old news clips, and the newspapers of the day were telling people to come visit the cemetery, come take tours. By 1874, we were having to issue tickets, almost like a park or an amusement park, where people had to get a ticket at our office in order to come visit the cemetery for non-burials. So it was this, as we're digging through, our 150th anniversary is in 2023, so it's an opportune time for anybody in the city to sort of discover Beechwood and sort of get used to coming to us and enjoy some of our free events that we're hosting throughout the year. But as we're looking back, we're seeing all these really incredible stories from the foundation, from the creation of Bytown to then the city of Ottawa and then to the establishment of Beechwood. There's all these wonderful tales where we were really that hub, that connector from all these different places in the city, all these different communities within the city.
It's amazing. And as I'm listening to you speak, I need to know a little bit about your history. How did you find yourself at Beechwood?
So I was actually working as the director of communications for a federal labor union. And there was an opportunity that came up just on LinkedIn for this new post. So Beechwood, prior to me, had never had a director of marketing communications and community outreach, and it's a hefty title, but it just means that I get to do all the interesting stuff at Beechwood. And I applied, and out of a whole bunch of different people, me and the president at the time, who's retired now, hit it off, and we talked about what we needed to do, how we needed to re-engage with the community, how we needed to be really connected to not only our community groups, but really built into the city. And we often, we as a city often forget our heritage and our history, and we often sort of look at it and we're like, well, we are Bytown, and people go visit the Bytown Museum. Amazing stuff that they do. Their Tilt Online has been amazing as well. But people forget that the foundation of our city is buried in our cemeteries, and people go all across the world. They'll visit cemeteries. They'll go to Notre Dame in Montreal. They'll go to the big Commonwealth War Graves Cemetery across the world. But in our own backyard, we have a Commonwealth War Graves Cemetery. We have a military cemetery. We have an RCMP. We have a Victorian-era cemetery where we have that historical designation that indicates that we're not only an American-style country cemetery, but we're also a 1920s Chinese cemetery. So these weird, two very opposing historical designations for the same cemetery.
It really is amazing.
Well, we try, right? And that's something that we've really been proud of what we've done, and we've always been connected to different communities, and some of the oldest members of the communities from the different parts of the city, from Chinatown to Little Italy to New Edinburgh, all the sort of pre-amalgamated cities in Ottawa, all find their home here, and they all find those connecting points from Thomas Mackay for New Edinburgh. If you're a local here in the New Edinburgh Vanier area, everyone knows Thomas Mackay. There's a lake named after him. He bought 90% of the property here, and so he's buried here, and people regularly come and visit, and they sort of learn their local history. So that's something we're really proud of, and as a not-for-profit, it gives us that opportunity to do a little bit more and allow us to sort of have discussions that for-profit companies may not be able to. And there's nothing wrong with a for-profit company, of course. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But being a not-for-profit really allows us to sort of have a different perspective on how to treat not only our family members that come to Beechwood, not only our clients, but the community as a whole, how to give back, and how to ensure that we can prop up different community groups that might need a little bit of help, or host a fundraiser, or even support places like Partage Vanier, which is one of the local food banks, which I can almost see from my office window. And that's the most used food bank in the country. So,
wow. I mean, it just goes on. And I think what's really so interesting is it really intersects at this beautiful point where I think everyone that lives a full life wants to be remembered. And I think Beechwood is just such a beautiful opportunity for people to recollect on people that shaped the city and the country. But that at the same time, you're thinking about people that are here now and people that are looking for help. And you really become that, in a way, the heart of the city.
I hope that we are. I hope people view us as that. I don't want to come out. I'm being very Canadian here, right? I don't want to brag. No, definitely. And I think when it comes to sort of sharing that history, we're doing it both historically and proactively. So we have a magazine that comes out that the foundation, I'm the I think chief editor of the magazine, and you'll often see myself and Erica Wagner that you've interviewed before. We write articles for the magazine, and there's guest writers all the time, from professors to ambassadors to diplomats to CSIS members to RCMP and all that, right? And we do a story, a regular story called 82,000 Stories to Share, and it's the idea that every person who's buried at Beechwood for the last 150 years and present has a story to share, and it may not be something that most people think about, that it's something that maybe that the larger population may want to know, but we have such an amazing stories, and we run into people who share stories of their family members, either just deceased or their family members from 100 years ago, and they share these stories, and we're like, okay, we have to sit down and we have to share it with our community. One great example was the woman who fought the Chinese head tax and got the apology from the Canadian government. So she's just quietly buried here in her family plot. And so we were looking for just some interesting stories. And her son shared this story where she worked her entire life to get an apology for the government instituting a head tax.
Right.
And no one ever acknowledged her. She was just, she did what she did because it was right. And so we were able to acknowledge her in one of our magazines, and eventually we'll do a Great Canadian Plaque. And for those who've not visited Beechwood before, there's about 80 of these wonderful green plaques that dot our landscape. And we encourage people to just take a walk around. And if you take a quick walk, you can do it in about an hour, hour and a half. But if you take a deep dive, it's about 5 hours. But this was really the first foundation, the first Beechwood Cemetery Foundation project, which is a Great Canadian Plaque program. And it sort of identifies the contribution of Canadians, either locally, provincially, nationally, or internationally. And it sort of gives you just a snapshot of what they've done and who they are as a person and what contribution they've made. And we have people as varied from the first cartologist of the for the government of Canada to the gentleman who founded Earth Day and fought the and helped create the Acid Rain Accords, to one of our personal favorites is Carmen Jolicar, who brought flamingo dancing to Canada. So she was a dancer who decided that Canadians needed to learn how to do Spanish style dancing, and she was internationally recognized as this amazing dancer, but here she is just buried at Beechwood, right? So wow. It's all these interesting stories that people share, and we're lucky from the foundation perspective and from the cemetery perspective that people are always willing to sort of share their loved one's story, and it's the best way to keep them alive. It's the best way to increase their legacy, is for us to find out about these.
For sure. It's amazing, yeah. And I'm so glad we have the whole hour together, Nicholas, because we've got so much to talk about. We're going to be talking about the Beechwood Foundation today and spending a whole hour with Nicholas McCarthy. Thanks so much for sharing a little bit about Beechwood, but there's more to come. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. Welcome back to An Hour to Give. We are exploring Beechwood Cemetery Foundation today with Nicholas McCarthy. And Nicholas, you've already got us excited about everything that's happening at Beechwood and really how you're so involved in the community. And I think many people are surprised about all the special projects that you have as well.
So, well, exactly, right? We're always doing something, and it feels like I'm always starting a new project, or there's a new community group that's reaching out and saying, hey, can we build this? Can we talk about sort of doing something neat and different? What most people know us as is the National Military Cemetery. And so everyone's visited Beechwood. They've seen the Cross of Sacrifice. They come on Remembrance Day. They see the National Military Cemetery of the Canadian Forces, so the modern cemetery. But we've also been home to the RCMP National Memorial Cemetery, and we've been home to them for since the early 2000s, but really our legacy with the RCMP really starts with the Northwest Mounted Police and Royal Northwest Mounted Police, because they were founded a few months before us in May, and we were founded in August. So we've had this relationship since 1873, and not a lot of places in Canada can say they have. The RCMP is one of these great Canadian symbols, right? We think of Canada, you think of the RCMP, you think of the Mountie on horseback, and even yesterday for one of the burials here, we of course had two Mounties on horseback.
Wow.
Since the gentleman was a Mountie and a military, the Canadian Armed Forces member. But we have so many special projects with the RCMP, and over the last 20 years, we've been building the RCMP National Memorial Cemetery. And the distinction with that, and we call it the Memorial Cemetery, it's, to our knowledge, it's the only paramilitary, so military-related cemetery in the world that allows full families to be buried. And I think a lot of people forget that the serving legacy of the RCMP is that the family travels with the officer. And for the longest time, you'd have an officer, if they went up north or remote postings, it was the officer and their spouse, and their spouse ended up running the the jail cell, they were the dispatcher, they were the central figure. So when we were establishing this, the RCMP, when we were doing it with the RCMP, all the members wanted to include their family members and their children. And this really made that distinction. It made us a very unique and open place for our officers. So part of the main projects have been building different additions over the years. So the first was a main monument, and then we have our cenotaph, and a lot of people have seen the cenotaph. It's the saluting Mountie with the 239, I think, names on it from people who've passed away while serving. So people have seen that. But part of their 150th, which happens to be our 150th as well, is to build the RCMP Memorial History Wall. And the idea is to sort of showcase the legacy of the RCMP, good and bad, throughout the last 150 years. So we're hoping by May 2023 we'll be able to unveil it. And it'll be a natural extension to the RCMP section, where you're going to walk over one of our little streets, and the wall will be about 100 feet with 10 interpretive panels on them. Each panel sort of forecasting or sharing a different part of the RCMP, either the March West or what they did during the Cold War, what they did during the war. We are lucky to get Veterans Affairs on board, and they recently announced funding for the wall. It's one of the first times they've ever funded a large RCMP project like this. So we're really, really pleased and really grateful to the Canadian government for that help. But what's interesting is we're having this dialogue on how to sort of show the RCMP in its glory, but also show what they've done that may not have been the best thing. So we're looking at sort of incorporating the fulsome story of the legacy of the RCMP. We have members here that have served in war-torn places as police. We've had members here who helped rebuild Haiti, who've trained police officers internationally, who've served in Northern Ireland, who've gone around the world. And we always forget that about the RCMP, that not only are they our national police force, but they're an international police force, and they serve in these countries, in these different war-torn areas or remote areas that have had massive destructions, earthquakes, tsunamis, and all that, and they end up helping out the local communities there. So that's the legacy that we want to share. We want to share the 150 years from the first 30 adventurers being established here to the modernization with McBrien. Like every Commissioner McBrien was the commissioner from 31 to 38. And he's the one who professionalized the RCMP, who sent members all around the world to find those best practices. And these are the stories that we end up sharing as part of the RCMP National Memorial Cemetery. Oh. It's a great opportunity to share not only that, but share their connection to the military, because they are a military organization as well. The Provo Corps, which was the foundation of the military police, they evolved to become the military police. But originally the RCMP was that. They were even sent to Siberia and Archangel for different reasons to guard that. So this wall will be a walking wall, interpretive wall, if you will. And we're looking to increase accessibility by providing QR codes or near-field communicators. And these are items that you can put your smartphone on, and it'll bring you to either a story or a website that'll enhance what you're reading as well. So that's how we're looking to sort of celebrate that history.
It is amazing, and I think every time I've meet with you or speak with you, I always learn something, and I think all these special projects are the perfect place for them to be is at Beechwood. And are there any other groups that are represented?
So in the National Military Cemetery, sort of in between the Veterans section and the National Military Cemetery of the Canadian Forces, so the modern military, or post-Korea, I should say, we're building a monument, and it's been a monument that's taken about a year to build, and it's for the MEC of France Canada project, and it's to look at the relationship between France and Canada for the last 400 years and 90 years of diplomatic relations, and it was community-led. There was a community of French Canadians and French expats that were looking to sort of figure out a way to build a monument to celebrate and honor that legacy. As we all know, right, French Canada has been here for 500 years. My family came here in the 1500s. My French Canadian side came here in the 1500s. So to sort of have that legacy sort of shared, and it sort of snowballed into this really wonderful project where people all around the French-speaking world started to sort of share it out and donate, and not only share comments, but they were sharing inspirational thoughts about the relationship between the two countries, what it means to be connected. And it went so far as the government of France has declared, it's not installed yet, but the government of France has declared this monument as a French monument. So it's part of their national monument. So again, it's this little cemetery in the national, in the city of Ottawa, and we have all these sort of interesting pieces. Another monument that's not a special project, but it's along the same lines, is our 9/11 monument to respect and honor the Canadians who lost their lives in the towers, right? And that, well, I guess we'll talk a little later about. We're holding the 20th anniversary commemoration of that, but we have all these different projects. CSIS, we're also home to the CSIS National Memorial Cemetery. And to our knowledge, we're the only spy cemetery in the world. The tagline for them is a memorial to those who serve courageously in the shadows.
Wow.
Which I think is such a great way to share, right? Because if CSIS has a good day, we never hear about it.
True. It's so true.
And so
true.
It's all these people who are dedicated. And with them, we've been hosting fundraisers to pay for the parade square, pay for flags, pay for the main monument. And we call it Spies in the Cemetery. And you'd love this because we have people, Canadian security cleared, they can tell the stories. We have Canadian spies and people who share the history of the spycraft in Canada come to Beechwood, and we host an open forum night where they'll present a story. Don Mahar was one of the local writers. He was a he's president of the Pillar Society, which is the CSIS alumni group. He wrote a book, and he shared about that book, Shattered Illusion was the book, and it was the mission that he and his wife undertook and brought this Soviet defector to Canada. And it was an incredible night because most people hadn't heard the story, right? Because you typically don't hear spycraft stories. But during that night, we had another presentation about this Lieutenant Boucher. And Lieutenant Lucien Boucher, and his kids were in the audience. So he's long passed away, but his kids were sitting there, and they discovered that their father was a spy in World War II. So
and
could
they
you
didn't
imagine,
know.
Right?
Wow.
No clue. Absolutely no idea. They thought he was just a communications officer. That's what Dad always told us.
Wow.
But in the middle of this presentation, I looked over, and their jaw dropped. And it's this incredible story about this man who has given his life for spycraft.
I just got chills when you said that. Honestly, like, those are those moments that, you know, you can't make those up.
No, and it's they're so wonderful. And I like to refer to those as only at Beechwood, right? Only at Beechwood can you find out that your own family member was one of the founding members of the intelligence service in Canada.
It's incredible, and this is exactly why history is so important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and exactly right, and we share it on social media, so for anybody who's sort of looking, there's we're on everything, including two different Facebooks, well, three if you count French, so three different Facebooks, and we focus on sharing stories all the time. Like today I talked about McBrien or John McCoon, which was a naturalist, the father of natural sciences here in Canada, or even a really interesting story that we shared, and not a lot of people know about it. And during World War I, there was a whole bunch of Irish Irish citizens who fought for England as part of the Irish Imperial Army, which was the British Army from Ireland. And there was this, we have this one strange little military grave in the middle of nowhere in our cemetery. And it was of the Dublin Fusillade, so the Dublin, the Dublin rifle group. And they would have been part of the Imperial Army, but when he served, there must have been the change in Ireland where Ireland became independent. So he couldn't go back, or chose not to go back to Ireland, and came to Canada instead. So we ended up taking this, I took a photo of this and sort of shared it on social media and made a call out, like, anybody know who this guy is? Because the next of kin was listed as a funeral home, which means that he essentially died alone without family, which is terribly sad. But 90 years later, his regimental museum thought they had lost him. They thought he died in Europe, or he was just in an unmarked grave somewhere around the world.
It's so fascinating. Honestly, Nicholas, like, I could talk to you forever. We have to take a short break, but we'll come back with Nicholas McCarthy from Beechwood Cemetery Foundation here on An Hour to Give. The Beechwood Cemetery Foundation is our focus today, and my guest, who is incredible, is Nicholas McCarthy. Nicholas, I think about the very first time we met, and to think our lives would intersect this much over the last decade or so is pretty incredible. You've just done incredible work at Beechwood.
Well, thank you, and we're really proud of what we've done, right? And we have a saying at Beechwood, history will prove us right in the end. When you're around for 150 years, you can take that stance, right? Time will prove us right.
For sure.
And I think, as you know, we have a Reconciling History program, so a Truth and Reconciliation program.
It's so important, Nicholas, especially as we know so much is coming out across Canada about what our Indigenous friends and community have gone through, and Beechwood has been there.
Yeah, so we've been there essentially since 2014. This entire program actually started, and you'll notice the common thread where a community member comes to us and says something, and then we decide to embrace it and move forward and build something with them to begin with it. So the whole program, we call it Reconciling History Program here at Beechwood. And it's, again, it's an offshoot of our Canadian Plaque Program, or it really started as an offshoot. And Dr. Cindy Blackstock from the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society, she's this amazing advocate, amazing leader. I can't say enough about her. But she came to Beechwood, and she was walking through, as she normally does, and she saw a plaque for Duncan Campbell Scott, and Duncan Campbell Scott was the first Minister of Indian Affairs, and he's the one who institutionalized residential school. But he was also a great Canadian poet. So we had this flowery plaque, and she sort of looked at it and came back the next day, and she came back armed to the teeth, and she explains this all the time. So she came back ready to have an argument, and she met my president at the time. She had a member of Kairos Canada who was part of the same faith group as Duncan Campbell Scott, and she was like, this plaque is wrong, and she was getting ready to sort of have like this sort of hard conversation, but my president at the time was like, if it's wrong, tell us how to fix it. And she's like, he's like, we have no problem with fixing it, but let's work together and build something from it. And it, as she puts it, it disarmed her, but it also led us on this amazing path where we learned so much and we've connected with so many different Indigenous communities. And we've been able to, as I put it, be a footnote to a footnote to reconciliation. And it's something that we're really proud of. And it's something that we do in a meaningful way. So the idea of the plaque program is that we've changed our, the way we address our plaques when it comes to reconciliation. And we have both the positive aspects, because we don't want to negate that someone like Duncan Campbell Scott was an incredible poet. He wrote so much poetry about sort of the foundation of Canada, the early Canadian wilderness, this idea of sort of really sort of setting the tone of what Canadian literature became. Like, you can think of Farley Mowat as somebody who would be inspired from that sort of forest, that sort of really early Canadian literature. But he was also the man who institutionalized the residential school, and further that, he's the one who essentially institutionalized the full-blown genocide. And our plaque actually does explain that, and we explain it in this sort of easy way and a very sort of connected way. And so with Dr. Blackstock and different members of the Indigenous community, we've been rebuilding these plaques. So we have a Great Canadian Plaque program and a reconciling history tour. And we identify five or six people throughout the cemetery who've had either a positive or a negative role within residential schools. And a lot of us end up finding about Dr. Peter Henderson Bryce. And Peter Henderson Bryce is the reason why you need to sort of reinvestigate history. You need to look at it and sort of say, hey, who are we missing? Who was the people? So Peter Henderson Bryce was the first person to really sound the alarm that the conditions within residential schools were killing children for no reason, that they weren't. He was an advocate to bring the schools back onto within the local communities, have it connected to the community, have it in a more sanitary way, have it so that the kids and the community actually run the school together. So had he done that, it would have been a complete, you would assume or believe that it could have been a completely different program where you have Indigenous teachers, Indigenous communities teaching their children and keeping their children, which would have been a very, very different story in our history. So as part of this program, last week, on the 17th of August, we installed a mailbox for Peter Henderson Bryce because we noticed that he was getting mail. So could you imagine somebody who's been passed away for almost 100 years getting mail?
Incredible.
And so people are bringing their thoughts of reconciliation now that he's become this sort of great figure an early reconciliation. People have been sending their thoughts, sending their hopes, their dreams. And it's this wonderful idea that we're going to be collecting these letters and sharing it with people, hopefully building a book. But this flash forward five, six plaques later, we highlighted people like Olive Dickinson, who was the mother of Indigenous studies in Canada, or Indigenous sociology. And sort of she wrote some of the most prolific pieces on the history of the Indigenous populations in Canada. But what we've done as we were working for Orange Shirt Day, which happens to be September 30th, the Government of Canada declared it the National Day of Reconciliation. So we were working towards this plan, and now we can just make it a lot bigger and making it a lot more meaningful. So for us, we're going to be hosting the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation and Orange Shirt Day at Beechwood. And it's a full-day program. We've shut down the cemetery. We've shut down the funeral home. And as some of your listeners may have been to Beechwood, we have that beautiful octagonal room, our sacred space, as we call it.
Right.
In the center, there's a giant rock. And Project of Heart has shared 57,000 tiles made by children and youth across the country. And we're going to be creating this giant memory labyrinth. So a way to explore reconciliation in a quiet and reflective way. So people are going to be encouraged to walk through this labyrinth in our sacred space, go around our rock, and take a moment to reflect about the impact of residential schools. Mm. And so that's part one. And this will be the first and last time that all these tiles are together and displayed in one moment.
Wow. It sounds like it's going to be so impactful, Nicholas. And, you know, Beechwood taking the lead, not just this year, but many, many years ago, just says a lot about the foundation as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're really proud about that. And, of course, because of the foundation, we're able to offer this event for free. Following the tour through the sacred space, we have some of Canada's leading historians and community members are going to take people on our 45-minute reconciliation tour where they can see the different plaques, as well as learn about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And then after that, there'll be a nice book reading by the Caring Society. They have a series called Spirit Bear, and we're going to be reading the one specifically about Beechwood where Spirit Bear meets our fox, Echo. And they talk about reconciliation, and it was written in the light of McDonald's statues starting to be ripped down and an alternative to ripping them down and how to address it differently. And people have written about how we've done it and the idea of sharing that history. So again, we encourage people to just sign up on our website. Again, we're under COVID restrictions, so everyone needs to be signed up. Registration's on our site right now, but we've had tremendous feedback from the community. This is really a program that's built through the Assembly of Seven Generations, which is this young Indigenous group here in Ottawa that represents a lot of different communities across the country, and they're leading the way with Project of Heart and First Nation Caring Society, as well as members from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission as well. So we're really, really excited to be able to offer this for free to all Canadians. And since this is an hour to give, if anybody wants to support this program, by all means, we're always taking donations. But when we invite people to our grounds, it's really about having them experience something that they may not have experienced before, mm-hmm. and have them see a different understanding that it's not rewriting history, it's revealing a history that's never been shared. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize with reconciliation. It's about being quiet and listening to the stories. And if you read the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's reports, the graveyard, the cemeteries across the schools have always been there, and they have told us about it. The Indigenous community right. has always said they were there, but no one was there to listen. Only when there's this discovery that people are like, wait a minute, the communities have been saying this for literally seven generations, that their community members, their children have been dying in these schools, but no one's been there to listen. So it's great to have people finally listen, right? It's great to have people sort of share their thoughts, but this is an opportunity for everyone to come together and listen to different stories and see the impact and be able to sort of internalize it in a meaningful way.
Absolutely. And so many of us are catching up, if you will. We weren't taught in school, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an opportunity for us to not only learn ourselves, but this is an opportunity, like I think about myself with my daughter, she's 13. This is an opportunity for us to share that knowledge and ensure the next generation and the generations to follow understand the sacrifices and understand, in many ways, the injustices that were done to Indigenous people over generations. We only have about a minute left. Nicholas, really share with us again how people can get involved in this very special day on September the 30th.
So on our website and on social media, and we have our registration open for the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation and Orange Shirt Day. There's a blog post and there's an event, and you just click on the register today. And we're running tours from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. All day, and we ask that you register and you come. And we're asking people to give us about an hour and 45 minutes of their time on this first National Day of for Truth and Reconciliation. And this will allow people to sort of have that full experience and have a full understanding of where we fit and figure out what reconciliation means to them, what truth means to them, and when to listen, when to talk, and when to sort of open up. And we ask that people come and sort of come with an open heart and an open understanding that this is a history that wasn't shared. This is a history that was hidden to most of us for most of our education.
It absolutely is true. And Nicholas, I always learn something from you. And I know this special day on September the 30th, the day that all Canadians will reflect on Indigenous people, will be a very, very special day at Beechwood Cemetery. We're going to come back. We have one more opportunity for you to share more about Beechwood Cemetery Foundation with Nicholas McCarthy. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. I'm learning so much from Nicholas McCarthy today from Beechwood Cemetery Foundation. Nicholas, you have so many different special events and special projects. There's one coming up that's really important, of course, on September the 11th.
So, we'll be hosting the 20th anniversary ceremony for honoring the victims of 9/11. So again, this is a community-led event. We're working with the American Embassy and some community members as well to host it. So Beechwood, really, really early on, it was led by one of our staff members here at Beechwood. She is still a family service rep. She deals with grieving families. She's a funeral director as well. And after 9/11, she thought it was really important that families have a place to grieve, families have a place to connect. And so we built, alongside with a few other partners, Global Affairs, or DFATE at the time, the 9/11 memorial. And it was one of the first memorials for 9/11 to be placed. At the time, we had asked family members to bring a significant object. And place it in a burial container, and then we buried that underneath it. And so we haven't had a September 11th event in about 10 years. We were waiting for the 20th anniversary to sort of connect with the community again. Sadly, a lot of the families have moved on, and they've moved to all across North America. They're no longer as local as they once were. So this is really a community event, and we're inviting people to come together and connect and just take a moment out on September 11th at 10:45 in front of the monument. So it's near the Great Beechwood Tank. Right across from the tank is our monument. And we're going to have a few words from a few speakers and a little brief laying. Very just a very quiet and very dignified memorial service. And so again, we're inviting people to register because we're still under COVID rules to come to Beechwood and just have that time. Like everyone remembers 9/11 and the impact that it had on our lives. It's one of those moments in time where you can remember exactly when you heard it, who you were with, who you knew that was connected to it, and then of course all our friends who have gone overseas, the men and women of the Canadian Forces who have gone overseas and served our country for the last 20 years, right? So we look at that and we think that it's time to hold a 20th anniversary, and it's a memorial service, and it's an act of remembrance, an act of communal remembrance. And I think under the idea that we've not been together for 18 months now with COVID, and we've been sort of, everyone's been pushed sort of to grieve at home or to memorialize at home, this is an opportunity for us to get together again out in the open, out in the air, and definitely share in that moment of grief and for that sure. moment of remembrance.
And it's so important, Nicholas, you just mentioned, of course, COVID-19 and how our grieving has changed. Is there an opportunity for us to really remember the people that have died during COVID-19 as well?
Yeah, so part of our the foundation's mandate is we hold an annual memorial service, and that's September 26th, and this is a non-denominational service that we'll hold, and we'll be holding it in front of the mausoleum on September 26th. And we've been hosting this event for I think 30 years now, but this year we're doing it for anybody who's lost somebody to COVID-19. So it's a special thought in that sense. Again, it's at 3:00 in front of our mausoleum, and our mausoleum is this big building on the top of the hill. You can't miss it, but we've invited the community. Again, we're all about community. We're all about connecting with the community, and we've invited the community to come and participate. If you've used Beechwood services or not, if you just need to come out and be with the community, that's sort of to share that grief and sort of have a moment of quiet reflection along other people. And I think that goes a long way to help the healing process. The idea that you're not alone, that you're connected to others, that you're that other people share the same type of sadness and sorrow and the same type of grief. And after 18 months, being able to host something outside all together, we're really looking forward to it. We have the chaplain from the Montfort is going to be one of the chaplains there, and then Canon Beale from the Anglican Church is going to be there as well to share their thoughts, and they're going to focus on not only sort of loss but also hope, because I think as we're turning this corner, and I know the numbers may not be reflective of that, but as we're sort of turning a corner, we're seeing vaccine rates increasing, we're seeing Ottawa open up a little bit more and Canada opening up a little more, having people come together and having that sense of hope that we're coming out of this, that the darkness is slowly lifting and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel of what is COVID-19. So it'll allow people to sort of connect together and be together for that evening.
Nicholas, when you think back to those first few days working at Beechwood Cemetery and, of course, Beechwood Cemetery Foundation, would you have ever thought in a million years that it would take this kind of journey for you? You seem to really embrace not only the history, but everyone you come in contact with.
I can't tell you what I think, actually. I always have an answer for everything. but I had no idea what I was joining, right? I saw this opportunity to join a historic cemetery. The staff here is amazing. We have amazing funeral directors who will bend over backwards to sort of make sure that families get exactly what they want. We have family service reps that help people sort of figure out exactly the memorialization they want. People talk about our services from, like I said, RCMP horses walking on the grounds to honor an RCMP officer to our public events, right? It's all about that. There's such a great team. And part of the foundation, there's this sense called the Beechwood Way, and it's something we talk about within the company. It's the reason that our outdoor staff will always sort of stop what they're doing as a procession comes down and take off their hats to mm-hmm. show respect for the families. If we have to do something extra to make sure that a family member can make it to the grave due to physical limitations, we will do something mm-hmm. to make sure that that family member can do exactly what they need to be done, what they need, they feel they need, right, to our tours, right? We have had tours where people have just lost somebody and they come on tours, and it's a way for them to re-explore the cemetery and come and share it on a happy, a more happy event, and sort of have that connection to build new memories, even if they're loved ones are have passed away.
Nice.
I think the culmination of that is our annual historical tour. We do this wonderful walking tour. This year it's going to be on a stage, but we're celebrating the end of World War II and the idea of people coming home. And I think that idea of coming home mm-hmm. Really is emblematic of Beechwood. It's the idea that this is Ottawa's home, right? This is our community. This is who we became, who the city becomes. You drive through the cemetery and there are people from all around the world. There are different religions, different groups, all together, all connected, all standing side by side for eternity, sharing what it is to be Canadian, right? And I think that's where we're able to sort of do that as the foundation, is share these stories, share how the different communities have laid the foundations to our city, from Chinatown to the Lebanese community and the large Lebanese churches, to Japanese, the Polish, the Ukrainians, the Latvians. I know I'm missing a lot, and I'm jumping over a lot of our different communities, and anybody from a community I've missed, I do apologize. It's not intentional, but we try to do that. We try to make sure that everyone feels at home at Beechwood, and you'll see our staff will always stop and talk to somebody to make sure they're okay, see if they need something. We take care in making sure that the history and the legacy of the individual is properly saved and properly recorded, and anytime we can share that a little more publicly, we do. Anytime that somebody's comfortable to sort of, hey, I've got a great idea, we jump on our opportunity. And again, we are a community cemetery, and we may be the national cemetery, we may be the military cemetery, we may be all these different sort of national designation, but ultimately we have been the community cemetery for the city of Ottawa for 150 years. We've helped build it. We've even taken old cemeteries that have been discovered since LRT and brought them into the cemetery here. So Barracks Hill is a prime example of a forgotten community of Irish workers who were left, and the city was built above them.
Wow.
And it was a cemetery that was closed down. And in 2017, 2019, we did a reburial here at Beechwood along with the city of Ottawa, and we gave them that dignifying burial. And I think that's what it is. It's this legacy of service to our city, be it Bytown, be it Ottawa, be it Vanier, be it pre-amalgamated Ottawa. We're really representative of all those different communities, all the way from Manitic, all the way to Chelsea, Quebec, and even further down south towards the Saint Laurent rivers and sort of the Upper Canada area. We're all connected to that community, and I think Beechwood provides that, and the foundation strives to sort of share that with people and connect them with that history. I was at Upper Canada Village with my children on a tour, and we were just talking to somebody, one of the performers there, and he's like, oh, I've got family at Beechwood. I know exactly, and there
wow.
I am in Morrisburg, right?
Right.
Or in Regina, where you end up talking to somebody, and they're like, oh, yeah, that elephant monument, that's my daughter's monument.
Wow.
And so, again, it's the sense of community, or
sure.
having Anzac Day at Beechwood, having Dutch Remembrance Day here at Beechwood, having the French Remembrance Day here at Beechwood. It's all this ability to sort of connect with different communities globally as well. So again,
sure.
community cemetery, national cemetery, international connections throughout the entire world. We pride ourselves to sort of being that place where people can find themselves. Oh, if you can find yourself within the sort of the legacy of Beechwood, you can definitely feel connected to our community. I think that's the great thing.
I love that so much. And we only have about 30 seconds, but remind people how they can get in touch with you if they want to give back to Beechwood.
So we have a donation portal on our website. So it's right on our homepage, as most not-for-profits would have it. And we give full tax receipts because we're a registered charity as well. We're looking at sort of different projects, and people can either support our horticulture program, support our tree program, support different projects within the cemetery. We're always looking for funding for the RCMP National Memorial Wall, which is a great project to get behind if you want to donate to Reconciliation, or if you want to donate in the memory of somebody, right? It's always a great opportunity to do that too. And somebody who loved history or loved the city of Ottawa would be a great way to sort of give back. And as I said, 95% of our events are free to the public, and we pride ourselves. So unless we're making money for somebody else, for another charity, we won't charge for our events either.
It's amazing. I've really enjoyed my time with you. Once again, I've learned so much, not only about Beechwood Cemetery, but of course about Beechwood Cemetery Foundation. My thanks to Nicholas McCarthy for joining me today. He is the Director of Marketing, Communications, and Community Outreach. I hope you've enjoyed your time here on An Hour to Give.